Suskind. The knocking usually starts early, around 6. The first sound is the thud of a small metal hammer on wood. It is invariably followed by a scraping noise, then more knocking, more scraping. It will continue at intervals throughout the day, with the last session coming after tea time. Like the howling prop jets landing at City Airport, it is such a part of my life now that I rarely notice it. The racket is made by Suskind, the pigeon keeper, whose house is on the corner. He is loosening and clearing the bird shit from the beams and birches of his pigeon house. His backyard runs parallel with my street, and his daily routines happen in full view of my front window. The birdhouse is a large wooden shack, clad with faded peeling plywood and with a flat felt roof, which Suskind lashes down with a rope when gales are forecast. It sits on top of the sloping kitchen roof, supported at the front by metal girders. To access it, there is an aluminium builder's ladder, which gives onto a small wooden landing above the yard gate. Set at right angles to this is a short, unreliable-looking, homemade stair. He has replaced two of the rotten steps in haste recently, and the new ones lie crookedly, as if in a young child's drawing. They are already covered in a dirty grey-green film of algae. On the front of the shack, there is a line of 8 rectangular windows, covered with chicken wire and polythene. Above them is a shelf for the birds to land on. It has 2 further windows, one without polythene, and a hatch, which is hinged at the top. Suskind is in his 50s. He generally wears black, otherwise nondescript, trousers and a brown jumper. His jumpers will often be patterned with bold clashing stripes. The outfit does not change with the seasons. I have never seen him in his shirt sleeves, even on the hottest days. He wears a handkerchief around his neck, which is used as a dust mask when he is scraping out the shite. It gives him the appearance of a Wild West train robber. His head is topped with a mop of wavy, sandy hair that is pushed back from his forehead. Although I often see him in the street, on his bicycle, we have never talked. His world is of the sky. There are rituals. At midday, he lurches up the ladder with dishes of food and water for the pigeons. He is smiling, his mouth twisted into an evil-looking rictus, as if he is privy to some dark secret joke. He disappears into the gloom of the birdhouse, and after a few moments of fiddering about, the hatch is pushed open. His head and hands emerge into the light, and the singing begins. He has a fine tenor voice, and it projects Galway Bay, another Joseph Locke favourites, powerfully into the street. Passing pedestrians are startled by this unexpected performance, and pause to stare up, but Suskind is oblivious to them. He sings for joy alone. As he sings, he drums his fingers gently upon the shelf, and the pigeons flock down from the trees and rooftops where they have been awaiting him. They slip past him, through the hatch, and into the shed to get their feed. One has landed at the end of the shelf and is showing no inclination to come inside, so he turns his head and makes a clicky noise with his tongue to encourage it. When this last bird has entered, he belts out another verse, retreats inside, and closes the hatch. The singing has stopped, and instead, he is now loudly humming a tune as he comes through the door and turns to padlock it. Caught up in the music, he moves his legs to the rhythm, wiggling his arse like a hula dancer's. Today's feeding done, he descends the ladder, still crookedly grinning. He is happier than anyone I know. Later, I walk past his front door on my way to the shop. As I go to cross the road, I catch a flash of fluorescent yellow at the edge of my vision, and a muttered word, "Fuck." I turn my head instinctively to glance. It is Suskind coming through the gate on his bike, but he is nowhere near me, or the young man walking towards him from the other direction. As I turn back to cross the road, I hear his rough voice behind me, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I turn my head again, but he is away, pedalling through the soft rain towards the Ormer Road. His world is of the sky.